We just sang several songs about Thanksgiving. And normally when we think about Thanksgiving or just a Thanksgiving holiday, the autopilot thought I think that goes through about everybody's mind is, I will be about as thankful as I am for the blessings I am currently enjoying now. That's just without thinking about it. That's kind of how we think. And we're not all that thankful if the blessings that we wish we had just aren't there or not as much as we thought they should be. That's a very, unfortunately, human thing to do, part of our fallen nature. What we don't see is that when their trials come or when things aren't as they should be, which won't be true until heaven, what we don't see is Thanksgiving takes on a very different flavor. I am thankful to God that God allows me to persevere during difficulties while at the same time reflecting something of the wonder of his character to the people around me while I'm in difficulty. There is something more important about that than just enjoying the blessings that I enjoy. There's rich opportunity that we just won't see, or be hard for us to see when we go through trials. But those really are rich opportunities for the world to see the difference that God makes in our lives. This series that we've been doing is Dark Clouds, Silver Linings. Usually we see the dark clouds in our lives like loneliness and emptiness and depression and discouragement and anger as problems to be solved. And in a small way, that's true, but they're really opportunities to richly engage with God and for him to reshape our inner world in such a way that others see something of who he is. That's the silver lining. It's not just about feeling better or being better or being in a better place, but ultimately about reflecting him to the people in our lives. That's the silver lining. And through that, we discover our purpose. Let's pray together. Father, grumbling and mumbling and complaining comes so easily to our fallen hearts. And yet you use these things, even these ugly things, quiet things, to expose something down in our hearts that needs to be changed. And I pray that as we're in the Word today, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would speak to Doug. Use him. Allow him to relax and to freely communicate what you've placed on his heart and what's on the scriptures with us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today, in the final message in the series Dark Clouds, Silver Linings, we explore the silver lining of grumbling. Is complaining ever justified? How can we do everything without complaining or arguing? What about cynicism and perfectionism? How do we turn our attitudes around and be glad in serving God? Here's Doug.
A couple years back, Linda and I were over at the Gatchells, and we were taking a class. And if you've been at their house, there's the kitchen, and there's the living room, and then there's a hallway from the front door behind the kitchen and front room. And the class was over, and so everybody gets up and has some refreshments and talks and stuff. And I remember kind of walking back. I forgot something. Some days, you know, you remember things because they're important. There's just like certain things happen in your life that really change the way you see things. And so I don't know what it was. I had to go get something back in the living room. And I went back in the living room. And as I was standing there, I was getting something. And I turned around and Seth was standing there. And he says to me something like, I'd like you to consider being an elder. And so I'm standing there and I thought, well, who's he talking to? Because the hallway's in the back of us. And I realize I'm the only one in the room. Okay, so I'm starting to do the wiggle. What do you have to do to be an elder? Is there some qualifications? Thinking maybe I can get out the door before this takes place. He hands me a package of paper, and he says, I want you to read this and think about it. He's got me cornered. So now I'm saying, okay, well, you know, that's I don't think I'm qualified. I don't realize, I don't think I got what it takes. And let me talk to Linda and let me get back with you. And I think I left the papers there. Just, are you kidding? Are you serious? Me? And I said, okay, well, after thinking about it and talking with Linda, that was one of those days that changed your life. Thank you. So, you know, it's just that sometimes we get to talk about things. And Seth generally just says, you know, whatever's on your heart, whatever you're thinking about, go ahead and do it. Okay, so a couple years back, we took a trip, and I was thinking how, you know, this would make pretty good sermon because it's getting ready to take a trip, and I was thinking about going to heaven. But that's not what I'm talking about. So initially, when he says, well, here, I want you to talk, I was like, you know, that's not what I want to talk about. And as you know, this is that week. God's planning. Grumbling. I'm grumbling about giving a sermon. But it's interesting, when you do a sermon or you get prepared for a message, you really spend a lot of time thinking about it. And you start, okay, when you get in conversations with people, you start hearing this kind of conversation that's becoming less a complaint, but more of a grumble, just an ongoing grumble. Now, there's a difference, of course. Complaining is not all bad. So in the early church, the Grecian widows were not really being taken care of. So it was brought up to the church that, hey, these guys are perishing because they're not being taken care of. And so it was taken care of. That's not complaining or grumbling. That's just taking care of an issue. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is not being thankful to God. So when you start to grouse and come, you know, I didn't go to school to learn this. It just seems to come naturally. So I think we all have this propensity to head towards negativity, saying what we don't have. And when you get down to that, it's really the essence of that is it's all about me. I need my needs met. And this isn't happening. And this, you know, that's where this becomes, it goes from a complaint, now it's turning into a grumble. Because ultimately, it winds up accusing God of not taking care of our lives. You know, if we trust God, he's got control of our lives. We just have to realize that our plans for ourselves aren't as good as his plans for us. And so if we say, well, this is what it's got to be, God, good luck with that. He's going to let you know that it isn't going to work that way. I believe that. I think we've all fallen into the habit of complaining to a degree or another. And when we realize it, you know, at my work, it almost becomes a one-upsmanship kind of situation where somebody's complaining about this or that. And this is what's great about this study is that there's like four different, and then of course there's the hybrids, but there's definitely four different types of complaining type people. There's the whiner. Does anyone know the whiner?
Yeah.
I don't think I need to explain the whiner. Why not? Yeah. Ah. What about me, huh? There's the martyr who's always, oh, man, you know that one. The cynic, you know the cynic? That wouldn't have worked anyway. I'm not even going to bother. And then there's the perfectionist that gets into, well, it's not quite right, but you can try again. Just keep trying. You'll get it right. You know, it's kind of interesting when you notice that. When you get in a conversation this week, see where some of these conversations go. Because sometimes, I don't know why, but people spend a lot of time complaining, I recognized. We spend a lot of time stating things that aren't towards the good for the others. You know, we'll tear somebody down or you know, the events or the way the government works or whatever. And what I've noticed is it kind of makes me uncomfortable. And it should, because what is it accomplishing? So the children of Israel go through the Red Sea, are fed manna for a year, have water, their shoes don't wear out, they're not sick, they've had quail, they've been blessed beyond belief, and when they get to the promised land, they say, well, let's send 12 guys in, and 12 go in. And of those 12, we only remember two. Because those two guys had a positive attitude. They said, go, let's go. The other 10 completely destroyed the rest of them. Their negative attitude brought that whole generation down. God said, you know what? Oh, they said, you know, they're giants in the land. They're going to kill us. We'll never do it. So God says to them, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you everything I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall, every one of you, 20 years and older, who is counted in the census and who was grumbling against me. Not one of you will ever enter the land I swore with uplifted hands to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua, the two guys that were positive. They said, let's go. God's with us. Come on. Why are we waiting? What? Why? And they almost stoned them because they were too positive. It upset the grumblers. So rather than dwelling on what we shouldn't do, I think we should more or less figure out what God wants us to do. Because if we spend more time thinking about what we shouldn't do, it'll tend to bring you in that direction. I've noticed. What you think about is where you go. If you think about things that God wants you to do, that's what you're going to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. God's command is that in everything give thanks. And the command is emphasized by the declaration, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ. So you think about your life and you go, wow, you know, not everything's been working out. True. But we look at somebody like Joseph. What did he do? He got thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. He went to jail. It just went from bad to worse. But you never read that he complained about it. This is what's amazing. Here's this guy who had a totally positive attitude because he saw God's in this. Somewhere, God is going to make this turn around. And what happened? The baker and the cupbearer come in. We've had these dreams. He answers those dreams. They leave. He's still there. You think, oh man, this is bad. That was good. Because if he had been released, they never would have found him. He never would have been second in command. He could never have answered the Pharaoh's dream. Get prepared. We're going to have a famine in here like never before. He saved his family. He saved all those people. His brothers thought they were going to get rid of him. And his comment to them is that you thought this evil against me, but God meant it for good. That song we sang about God is in control. Trust God. Right here. It's all over it. If we focus our attention on what we're missing or what we think we're missing and want, we'll forget the blessings we truly have. How many of us were hungry last night? Cold? Without any shelter? No? Jed Seltzer? We're all pretty well blessed here. You know, this country, we have overabundance. We have overabundance, and what unfortunately that leads to is your wants just get bigger. We're never satisfied. I'm never satisfied. If I have this, I want more, right? So the attitude of thanksgiving really is important for a multitude of reasons because you should be thankful for what you have and not what you don't have. Just like Seth was saying, the Thanksgiving on the day you're there, you say, yeah, I'm pretty happy I got this and that, or I'm still healthy, or whatever. But it leads much longer. It has a much larger emphasis than that. The attitude of thanksgiving and praise releases the power of God in our lives. Because he won't force good on you. If you won't accept it, he won't make you do it. You know, we're given a gift, a great gift from God. And if we don't say thanks, what does that tell the giver? I mean, have you ever given a gift to somebody and they say, I'll put that file over here. Next. You'll see that with your children. It's just, what did I get? And this is the part that grieves God. Because if we ignore him, you know, he gave us the gift of life. He gave us his son. God always means what he says, and he always says what he means. And we should too, you know. We should mean what we say and say what we mean. In celebrating Thanksgiving this week, you know, our country, we're not the only country that celebrates Thanksgiving, but we're the only country that celebrates Thanksgiving thanking God, which sets us apart. So, really, it's kind of the flip side of the same coin. You can be grumbly or you can be thankful. And I look over what George Washington wrote, and it's just, it's wonderful. Where our country's gone from this is so far. So I just want to read a little bit of the proclamation, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Because it's really where our country should be if we really want to be in God's will. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses, and it goes on. But do you see who he's thanking? Almighty God. Then it goes on. Now therefore, I do recommend to assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted to the people of these United States, to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, and that will be. Wow. I never read this before. That just struck me. What we will may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks. Because he recognized who was actually in charge. And one thing I really liked at the end, given under my hand by the City of New York, third day of October, that's not so interesting. In the year of our Lord, 1789. I don't see that anymore. I look at my children's textbooks, and it's before current era. We've lost our touch. We've lost our anchor with God. Why is it 2014 anyway? It has no meaning anymore. There's another type of giving, and that includes serving. I try to learn from Seth all the time. It's as much as possible. When I get around him, I just try to focus on what he's telling me. And it's interesting because, you know, we've had functions here at the church where, like, the Christmas meal or dessert and everything, or the Harvest Festival. And the time I've seen Seth really get lit up is when he sees everybody working together. He says, he just smiles. He just glows. He loves it. And I think, yeah, that's something I want to see, where we all help. So this is about where I started this morning, talking about trying to fill the gap. I thought, yeah, I can do something. There's one more thing I'd like to finish with. It's about giving thanks. All that God will do in our lives and has done and will do for his grace and his mercy and kindness. I'd like to read Psalm 100 because I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. This should be every Sunday. Really. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and lives there with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues all generations. What I'd like to leave with you today is that the grace and mercy of God will far outlast the hurts and disappointments of this life. Amen. Even though you think things are going wrong, and they will. That's just part of life. Think about Joseph and where he was. He trusted God, and it turned out for the best. So rather than dwell at what we do not have and not satisfy, it won't satisfy anyway. The first time I went broke, I thought, oh, this is terrible. It wasn't. You know, what it taught me was that the stuff that I was striving for, it was worthless anyway. I spent all that time, and then I had to just let it go. What really matters is what happened, what God wants us to do. Excuse me. So rather than dwell on what will not satisfy or last, please choose life and praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Amen.
Father, we thank You this morning for allowing our eyes to see, our own haughty eyes, and what devastation they can bring to people around us and to our own souls. And Father, we gladly humble ourselves right now to You. We thank You that even in the mess that we are and all the wreckage of our heart, that You are the one that is putting us our heart back together again as it should be. You are building something in us that reflects something of the wonder of Your Son. We thank You that You can take all the pieces that are inside and make something strong and something with beauty that reflects something of who You are to the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.